as we pray one more time. Dear Father, we just thank you so much for the blessings you've given us. As we consider our relationship with you today, as we think about what you want to do in and through us, we ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to us clearly. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It happened in 2014. In Florida, there was a family who decided that they were going to build their dream home. And so they bought this lot in a gated community in an upscale part of Florida, spent a little over $3,000 just for the lot. And then they began building their home, a $680,000 home. Their dream home, 5.5 bedrooms, a home theater, game room, screened-in pool. And any of you who have ever been involved in building, you know it is quite a process. They brought the surveyors out, they laid the foundation, they built the home. Finally, their dream home was finished. 6 months later, they discovered that there was a problem. The house had been built on the wrong lot. They actually didn't own their dream home. The articles that I read didn't exactly say what the resolution was. Technically, the owner of the lot on which it was built could have told him, "Thank you for the home, no trespassing." But it illustrates a key point. If you are going to build, it is crucial that you make sure that you are building on the right foundation. I'd like for you to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We are going to be looking today at three crucial aspects of being builders together with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're looking at verses 19 to 25. Actually, it's verse 9 to 15. It says, "We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, yet he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire." The building process. Three crucial aspects that we need to understand regarding our work as builders on this earth. Number one, we are all building for eternity. Number two, we need to make sure we are building on the right foundation. And number three, it really does matter what kind of materials we are bringing to the foundation. So we're building for eternity. We are all builders. We need to make sure that we have the right foundation. And it really does matter what materials you bring to the foundation. So aspect number one, we are building for eternity. We sang the song at the beginning of worship service. The wise man built his house where? The right wise man built his house upon the rock. And what happened when the rains came down and the floods came up? It stood firm because it was built where? Built on the rock. The foolish man went the easy route. And where did he build his house? The sand. And when the rains came down, the floods came up, what happened to his house? The house on the sand fell flat, as we all learned, as was mentioned in Sabbath school. Now, here's an interesting thing. Why didn't Jesus talk about the people who didn't build at all? It is because we are all builders. There is not a person who has ever lived on this earth that has not been a builder. We are all building our homes. The question is not whether we are builders, but where and how we are carrying out the building process. We've looked at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. You are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Three fascinating mixed metaphors that help us to understand that we are integrally, in part, involved in this process of building. The Bible makes it clear that we are building. The book of Ecclesiastes, which is all about practical life on planet Earth, written not by a disillusioned king, but by a king who had finally figured out what was really real about life. He concludes his book, and he says, this is the end of the matter. This is the conclusion. All has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with every hidden thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. As I read this text, I realized it's so interesting. When you read this statement, God will bring every work into judgment with every hidden thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. Do most people get excited or scared when they read that text? Why do we tend to only look at the negatives of that text? The text doesn't just say you're going to get in trouble for the bad things you did, although it does say that. It says God will bring every work into judgment with every hidden thing, whether it is what? Good, or whether it is evil. What we're being told is everything in life matters. There is nothing insignificant about the way we live our lives. I grew up seeing a little plaque on the wall that said, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. There are a lot of people who tend to get discouraged because they feel like they have thrown so much effort into life. And they've tried so hard, and it seems like they have so little to show for it. But this scripture that we're looking at in Ecclesiastes encourages us, and it tells us God remembers the little things that we do, that cup of cold water, that little hand outstretched to help somebody. Those are not insignificant things in the economy of heaven. God will bring every secret thing, every hidden thing to light. The judgment, all about the character of God, is about bringing the goodness of God to light before the universe. And how is the goodness of God revealed? It is revealed through the consistent, loving, small activities of his children. And so when we read that God will bring every work into judgment, it's good news for us who are faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Going on to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. It says, I know of nothing against myself, yet am I not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from whom? From God himself. And so we are finding out that we are all builders. There's no one that can check out and say, oh, I don't think I want to be a builder. The question is how we are going to build. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 12. We have it on the screen here. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, that they give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words, you will be what? Justified. And by your words, you will be condemned. So our lives, the way we live our lives, is significant. And that leads us to the second critical aspect of building, and that is what foundation you will build upon. You don't want to end up with a $680,000 building on the wrong foundation. And let me tell you that your life and the lives of those around you are worth far more than a mere $680,000 building. And so we go back to Matthew 7. We go back to our song, The Wise Man and the Foolish Man. It does matter where you're building. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus had a conversation with Peter. And Jesus was asking, who do people say that I am? Peter responded, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus turned to Peter and he said, Peter, in essence, you are the small pebbles. You're the sand. But it is this rock, the confession of Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God, upon which Jesus said, I will build my church. Does it matter where we build? Matthew 24:24 says, talking about the last days, there will arise false Christs and false prophets, and they will show great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the chosen ones. And so there are millions of people in this world who say, I am building upon Jesus Christ. Is it enough for me to simply believe that anyone who says they're building on Jesus Christ are actually building on Jesus Christ? According to this text, it says there would be false Christs and there would be false prophets. So if I am building on a foundation that has a label of Christ, how terrible would it be if ultimately I discovered that it was a false foundation? And that is why it is so important for us to be very, very careful that we read our scriptures and we know the difference between the true and the false. Because the difference will be whether your house will stand or your house will fall. How do I know the difference? I have to read my Bible. I cannot go by my feelings. Because I am sure the man who built his house on the sand in Jesus' story was very confident as he built his house on the sand. He probably even had some experts who had told him that it was very, very safe to build his house on the sand because there would never be a storm strong enough to destroy his home. And yet, as the story was told, the rain fell, the winds blew, and too late, he discovered that he did not have a solid foundation. As students of prophecy, we realize that at the end of time, there will be an Antichrist power. A power that already exists that will become stronger and stronger and stronger, such that it will be harder and harder to tell the difference between the true and the counterfeit. And so people say, I believe in Jesus. We say that we believe in Jesus. It is our determined effort, it must be our determined effort, to make sure that we know who the true Christ truly is. That's part of the reason Scripture tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. Because God knew that we needed the support of one another. We needed to challenge each other. We needed to call each other to a higher and higher standard as we seek to make sure that we are founded on the rock. And so we are all builders. We need to make sure that we are building on the foundation. The third critical aspect of building is that it matters what materials we bring to the building. The story is told of an elderly carpenter who was just ready to retire. He told his employer contractor of his plans to leave the business. He said, I'm going to retire. I want to be able to spend more time with my wife and spend time just enjoying my extended family. And so he said, I'm going to leave. He said he'd miss the paycheck, but there was more to life. So the contractor looked at this man, and he was really sorry to see this faithful worker go. And so he said to him, well, you know, I'm just wondering if you would do me a favor. Build me one more house, and I'll let you go. So this elderly contractor said, okay, I'll stick around for one more house. So the contractor gave him very detailed plans. He said, I want you to use very high-quality materials. But the old contractor just wasn't into this thing of building anymore. And so he went out and he bought some substandard materials, and the craftsmanship of the house wasn't all that great, but he figured, you know, it would do. And so he finally, with relief, that final day, called the contractor out and said, okay, your house is done. Contractor came out, inspected the house. And as they came to the front door, he pulled out the keys, handed it to this elderly man and said, this is your house. I'm giving it to you. The scripture we have read says, take heed how you build. Because the house that you are building may be your own. In fact, it is your own. I would emphasize that it is important to realize that we are builders. And why do I emphasize this? There is a popular belief that is basically a foundation-only mentality. You are welcome to read between the lines. A foundation-only mentality that says all that matters is making sure you have a good foundation. They say it really doesn't matter how you build, as long as the foundation is solid. But let me ask you a question as we go back to Jesus' story. If the man was standing on the rock with no house around him, and the rain came down and the flood came up, what would happen? He would be adrift. We really don't have the option, though. We really don't have the option of not building. The question is, what will we build with? If we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it gives us several options of building materials. The options include gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. Now, which of those building materials would be the easiest to come up with? Probably the straw. It's really cheap, readily available. But before we decide how we're going to build, Jesus tells us something. Scripture reveals to us that the building is going to be tested. If you look with me at verse 13, it says, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. And so as we contemplate how we are going to build, we can be thankful that we know what the final test is. And that is, will what I put here endure the test of fire? So if you were building your house here on this earth, and you knew that once you were done building, a fire would come through the neighborhood, what would you build your house out of? I can pretty well guarantee you straw would not be your top building material choice. Neither would hay or wood. Because all of those things are subject to flame. God tells us that there will be a final revealing. And we do need to recognize, again, we tend to look at the negatives in the text. But the text tells us our work will be revealed. A fire will test each one's work. If what we have built endures, we are promised a reward. And that's encouraging. The end of this text is kind of a challenging one. It's one that I've had to grapple with. Verse 15 says, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire. And so we do well to ask the question, okay, what is that telling me? Does that mean that I could bring a whole pile of straw to the foundation and really not lose out on much in the process? I don't believe that is what this text is telling us. I'd like to share with you a statement. The figure which Paul uses of the temple erected on the foundation stone is to represent the work of God's servants to the end of time. To all who are building for God, the apostle addresses words of encouragement and warning. If any man's work abide which he have built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Here's the application. The Christian teacher who faithfully presents the Word of God, leading his converts to holiness of heart and life, is bringing precious material to the foundation. And in the kingdom of God, he will be honored as a wise builder. He who neglects to teach the truth in its purity will gather converts who are not holy in heart and life. He is bringing material that will not stand the test. In the day of God, he will suffer loss. Though it is possible that those who have spent the best of life in teaching error may, by repentance and faith, be saved at last, yet their work is lost. Their life has failed of the good results that might have been secured. Souls who have gone down to ruin, who by a faithful presentation of the truth might have been saved. Says the apostle, let every man take heed how he builds. Another statement, along the same lines, it says a man's work may be of that character that it is condemned by God. Yet if for some reason that man has been deceived and repents, he will be saved. But his life work is valueless. He traded unwisely on his Lord's goods. He did not increase his talents by doing the right kind of work. He felt himself able to take care of himself, supposing he was too wise to need instruction, until at last he was assured he was bankrupt. The labors of his life lost through miscalculation. The good work he might have brought to the foundation, material which nothing could consume, he did not bring. And so as I have read this text and as I have pondered this quote, I've realized the text is talking about the final fire. And the question is, what does the final fire consume? If we go to Malachi chapter 4, verse 1, it says, behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, and all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. So the issue here is not about being successful in terms of perhaps the work that I have done. If I could be assured that, you know, the effort I put into it was lost, that might not be such a big thing. But when I realize it is people, it is my family members, it's my friends, it's my neighbors, it's my church members, when I realize that that is what is in danger of being consumed, now it adds a whole crucial aspect to the story. And so we are all builders. We must be careful that we are building on the right foundation. And we may need to make sure the materials we bring to the foundation are true materials. It is interesting to me, if we go to verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 3. In this same context, Paul says, do you not know that you are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. We're continuing on with this concept of building. Verse 17, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So the plain biblical truth is that we cannot defile our soul temple and expect to ultimately be saved. And so the question is, how can we be sure that we have a building that will survive the fire of the end of time? How can we make sure that we don't have to dread the testing fire? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus came to this world because he knew that we would not have hopes of surviving the fire if he did not come. And so Jesus came down to this earth and he began living a life of complete dependence on his heavenly Father. The same life that you and I need to live. He spent his time focusing on his relationship with his Father, receiving instruction from him, keeping his eyes on the prize that his Father wanted him to have, and that is souls saved in the kingdom. Jesus lived a victorious life. There was no straw, there was no stubble, there was no even wood that came to his foundation. He built with gold, silver, precious stones, which are symbols of the saved. He brought them to the foundation. He lived that victorious life. And he established a solid structure that would become his church. And then as he came to the end of his life, Jesus knew that because of all the wood, the hay, the stubble that we would bring to our construction, that he would have to reap the results of that. And so Jesus went to the cross. And there on the cross, Jesus received the ultimate end result of sin. He received the ultimate end result of all the things that we would do that would be out of harmony with genuine building. The consequences of our faulty workmanship were placed on his shoulders. And we see what happens as a result of faulty workmanship as we hear him cry out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The fracture of a relationship between Jesus and his Father was the ultimate result of what he endured for you and I. I am thankful that the story does not end with the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. That broken heart that he endured so that we would have the opportunity for life. Scripture tells us that Jesus did rise again. He broke the bonds of death. He returned to heaven to provide for us the way to walk in victory. He returned to heaven so that we could be faithful builders, so that we would have the courage to reject the stubble and the worthlessness that this world tries to get us to build with, the shoddy materials that it tries to pawn off on us as better. And Jesus calls us to faithful work together with him. There's a tremendous promise in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, I was just reading that this past week and just encouraged by what Jesus says. The first verse is an invitation. "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the water. And you who have no money, which is all of us, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy?" Saying, why are you buying straw and stubble that will never stand the test of time? I would encourage you to read this chapter this afternoon. It extends the invitation in verse 6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. And he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts," God says, "are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God has bigger plans for you than you've ever imagined. for yourself. He's got a much greater way for you to live than you have ever imagined you should live. In verse 12 is the promise, you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. God has an amazing future. The day is coming when our life work will be revealed. Is that good news or bad news? I hope for all of us it's good news. Because you see, all we are called to do today is faithfully carry out what God has for us to do. We cannot see the end result. We don't know ultimately what God is doing in us and through us. And so all we can do is say, I will be faithful to what God has called me to do. All we can do is say, if God is calling me to put the effort into digging into a rock-hard foundation, I'll put forth the effort. If God is calling me to put the increased effort of having to work with stone instead of wood, I will work with stone. The good news about what we've been looking at, Paul described this in the first part of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 6, it says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. You see, we are not called to grow plants. We are called to simply, faithfully participate. We plant seeds, we water the plants, but it is God who has promised that he will make things grow. In closing, I think about the end of time. And I think about what is going to happen when Jesus appears in the clouds. When we suddenly are surrounded by the blaze of glory and love that Jesus Christ has for each one of us. That cleansing glory. And I look forward to the day when we will hear the voice of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 25, verse 34, we are given a foretaste of what the king will say to those who have faithfully built it. The king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. The good news is that the work that you have done for God has not been in vain. The little things, the big sacrifices that you have made. God knows what we have done. And the day is soon coming when we will receive that blessing. Come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I'd like to invite our song leaders to join us here as we make a commitment. And that commitment is that we are going to choose to be wise builders. That we are going to choose to build on the rock Jesus Christ. Will you please stand with us as we sing, "We Will Build on the Living Rock"? Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for all that you have done for us. Lord, we ask that you will help us as we are making a commitment today to build on a solid foundation. Lord, open our eyes so that we may see you, that we may understand your love for us, that we may follow your commission. Lord, we don't want to build in a way that others will be lost because we have not been faithful. But we do look forward to the day when you will come. We look forward to the day when you will give us your well done, because we have faithfully built as you have called us to build. We ask that we as a church will more and more be faithful to you in the building that you have called us to carry out in our community. We thank you that you can do this in and through us. In Jesus' name. Amen.